What does it take to transform health throughout all our neighborhoods here in LA County? Well, we have to look at health differently. We need to recognize living conditions as health conditions, from hunger to homelessness. That's why, as the nation's largest community-inspired health plan, LA Care is more than just a card in your pocket. We're elevating healthcare here in the City of Angels. LA Care, for all of LA. LACare.org.
Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
I am the time.
Well, hello and welcome to the 39th episode of the Being Brilliant Radio Show. This is Amy Hackett-Jones, your host, happiness and high performance coach and hypnotist for being brilliant in the way you both live and lead your life and those around you. You can find me at www.amyhackett.com. The Being Brilliant Radio Show is a deep and impactful look at what it takes to be brilliant. The show invites you, our listeners, to step into the very essence of who you are being as you show up to life. And my guests bring a combination of inspirational teachings covered with practical tools and essential life and leadership skills translated into actionable strategies so that you, our listeners, may step into being the very best version of yourself. My interviewees are high performers, thought leaders, game changers, pioneers, dreamers, adventurers, wayseers, visionaries, as well as friends and family, those whom I believe live brilliantly and who travel magically through life, shining their own light so others may do the same. And of course, today is no exception. Today I have on the line the wonderful Steph Ritz, who is a world-renowned writing coach and who turns what you're saying into what you meant to say. She guides you to voice your passions with words that change the world. For over 14 years, Steph has led clients to grow from 100 to over 200,000 dedicated tribe members. She's helped them to get their ideas into a billion homes. That's incredible. And she's developed copywriting for multi-million dollar funnels and has written books with global leaders. Her degrees in writing and education have supported her career as a ghostwriter, retreat facilitator, and speaker. And her true magic lies in collaboratively translating the pivotal moments of your journey into tangible solutions for your community. Steph, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you so much. I'm very grateful to be here.
Oh, my goodness. What a lineup of skills and talents you have. That's incredible.
It's been many lifetimes in my few years, for sure.
Yes, it certainly sounds like it. Now, I would just love to dive into part of your story, given that this is what you're an expert at, telling stories, and just really dive straight in and look at way, you know, the journey that you took and how you got to be where you are today.
So sure, yeah, thank you.
Was there a pivotal moment, or was there an aha moment, or was there a journey that you took? How did this happen?
I came into business actually by fulfilling both of my parents' dying wishes. So my stepdad was a really famous artist, internationally acclaimed, like did covers for Scientific American, National Geographic, and mm-hmm. is still like just amazing work. And so he had written an autobiography, but he wasn't able to get it published before he passed. So my mom took that project on. And then only 2 years later, she ended passing of cancer, and within a few months of her passing away, I actually negotiated a contract not only to publish the autobiography, but to create an entire biography that told all the stories below the painting and below what was happening in history. So everything that I had learned from living with my stepdad, and we turned it into a dual text. So when you go through this giant coffee table book, it's one side autobiography, one side biography, and it's entire catalog of everything that was in the business. I mean, he already had pictures selected, but then I also had, you know, some of his paintings left and in this collection. So I positioned them in the entire business into the book, built an online marketing system so we could sell like prints and rights of reproduction, canvases, everything online. And then once I published the book, I sold the business to the man who actually published it and continued writing books. That first book project was about $500,000 deal. It was a beautiful project, but it wasn't just a book, right? It was an entire business platform back in 2008 that's still running itself today, right? So it's 9 years still running. And then I kept getting hired to do the same thing for other people. So the next book project I took on, that first article that I wrote ended up going out, being distributed to 500,000 people. And the man that employed the guy that I was writing with said, how did you do that? I want that too, and brought me in for another third project.
Oh my goodness.
And so it just ended up just being this really long progressive process. So like when you were talking about, when you were introducing me, it talks about how I helped one of my clients get hit. It was a documentary and we did the entire marketing plan, spent about a year working on it, implementing it. And his documentary got picked up to go into a billion homes. So it's now on iTunes and Hulu and Netflix. And it got picked up by Venturas or Gravitas. So it's gone nationwide or internationally overnight. Last I checked, it was still number 5 in documentaries on iTunes. So it's just
amazing.
Oh
my God, what's it called?
That is called Beyond Food by Tomas Reyes, as well as a team. So he interviewed experts about food from the point of like proper composting to Dave Asprey and biohacking, and just world experts on all the different areas of food, and turned it into a documentary, which is now rolled out about a month ago.
Gosh, that's fantastic. Well done.
it's beautiful to see. I mean, but it's not just me, it's them finding their voice, taking their message and taking a stand for what they believe and know can be possible. So Tomas does some biohacking and is always on the very front. He's actually a chef by trade. And so it's always meant a lot to him. He has an omnivore program, right? We eat everything. This is not a vegan chef. Being vegan isn't bad. And that's one of the things that's looked at in the documentary too. So he was bringing everyone else's voice forward, but it's so beautiful to see the same thing happen for someone like Tomas and doing documentaries as it is for like a shamanic sound healer who went, was doing these trade shows, a couple hundred people every few months, and overnight ended up getting 2 radio programs, reaching 200,000 people on a weekly basis in her weekly healing that she does. She got picked up by someone who was looking to retire and brought her in to take over the show. It was just amazing how these opportunities opened up once she finally had the words to say what she did. So we had really worked on building her entire website platform. What does she offer? What is she about? How can we communicate this to others? And as soon as someone saw it and understood and could really feel her, they were able to help amplify her message in the world with her, right? Full collaboration. It's just beautiful.
Oh my goodness. This is just music to my ears. It is. I mean, it's just incredible with, the power of the word. I mean, even in the Bible, right at the beginning, it says, at the beginning there was the word. And it's just incredible how you say enabling people to find their voice in a way that people can hear it. And I know that I've struggled with that for quite some time. I can sit in front of somebody over a coffee and give them an experience of what it is I do, but when it comes to writing about it or communicating it on social media or on my website, it's a very different process, and I know I certainly haven't nailed it yet.
It's really hard to sound like yourself in your own writing. A lot of the goofy things that we say or our colloquialisms are just so us that you don't recognize it until people start pointing it out to you. So,
yeah.
You know, while introducing me, you said this piece about how I take what you're saying and I turn into what you meant to say. And it's something that has shown up in like testimonial after testimonial after testimonial. That is a direct sentence that my clients say over and over again, because just because you get it doesn't mean you're communicating it to someone else. I just shared this video of it was a coach for a child for baseball. And he's like, okay, keep your eye on the ball. You ready? Go. And the kid like puts his eyeball on the ball, right? Because it was a matter of literal understanding, because he was a child. He didn't get it, you know? And that coach could have been like, oh my gosh, right? Instead, he grabbed the kid and gave him a big hug, because we all have our own perspective of what we're seeing. On the other side, they might not get it. Kind of like, I really look at myself as an integrated online content marketer, right? Taking your book, your business, your copy, your offers, your experiences, and really making it something that's all cohesive and in a way that you can take your ideas and just starburst it out into the world. But when I say I'm an integrated content marketer, people are like, what are you talking about? Right? And I had to learn new ways to, so I see on the online world, you guys call this a copywriter and a book coach. And now I'm starting to understand.
Right.
But you have to use words that others are going to hear you with. Yeah.
Oh, it's just brilliant. Brilliant. I love that. So you've taken this skill, the writing and the educational degrees that you've had, and you've turned it into this brilliant, let's say, service and product. So because you talk about retreats, being a retreat facilitator and a speaker, how else do you put this across then?
Yeah.
How do you integrate this in different ways?
So for me, the core of it always comes down to the stories that we're telling. We as humans are taught from birth, if not while still in womb, to learn through stories. Aesop's fables, right? We learn through storytelling. And so when we look at business and marketing, especially for people who are healing, which if most coaches are trying to, you know, like it's that fixing problem piece. We, you know, we're trying to help you get to a better space. And so traditional marketing has us really speaking to pain, naming problems and telling us exactly what's wrong with us, except for that when we're reading copy, when we're looking at websites, what we're reading for as humans is what's in it for me. So what are the benefits? Yeah. What are the solutions? And so when you take that problem and you turn it into the assumption and just say, well, you're on this page because I know you have these issues, so let's just talk about what you're going to get if you make it through the click-through, whatever that button action is, whether it's to go buy a program, to sign up for a download, doesn't matter, right? But you want them to take either yes or no, but indecision is not where you want to leave them. So when you use story to sell yourself, when you get to create a picture frame of what's possible, what you could have, what the differences are if you choose not to do this and where you could go instead. When you start painting those pictures, your stories can sell you in a very natural way that does not include raising pain into someone's body, because that's what happens when we read. We're literally empathizing with the words on the other side of the screen. So if we're reading about the pain we feel that pain. Mm-hmm. If we're reading about the benefits, we feel the benefits. And if we can see how to get those benefits based on how you became an expert at knowing how to give us those benefits, even better, right? I want to know why you're an expert at what you do, right?
Yeah.
So it's so powerful. It's a journey. The biggest, easiest thing is to remember to just talk to one person on the other side of the screen, right? So even if you're telling a story to a friend as we talk here. I'm speaking to you, Amy, as well as knowing that there's so many other people listening, but there's only one set of ears processing that information in their own perspective at any given time. And the more of those different perspectives you reach, the better and easier it is for your words and your books to naturally sell you, for your stories to sell you, instead of you having to constantly say, well, will you buy this? Will you buy this? It's like, well, once I know you're an expert at it, of course I'm going to go to you when I'm ready to buy that, instead of that, like, pulling people or pushing them away.
Yeah.
You just get to open your arms and receive what's going to come forward, because people can see you, they can hear you, and they understand the true value that lies within you.
Yeah. And that's that key element that you know, in this industry, especially in the online space, we talk about now so much, is about the authenticity and the realness. It's like people just don't buy into the push model anymore, you know, being pushed all these services and products and that sort of thing. It's people are much more discernible now and questioning, and more able to tap into vulnerability. I mean, when Brené Brown's TED talk on vulnerability went viral, the sort of trigger point for a lot of people to realize that, oh, I can be vulnerable and honest and integral, and I don't have to push my stuff on people. If I'm real, then who's meant to be attracted to me and my products will come my way. I love how you encapsulate it.
And well, it's when you are vulnerable, though, sometimes there are, you know, things, especially if you're still going through it, if you're still processing it, living it, is not the right time to share it. You have to be past that point enough that you can look at it and see it from a fresh perspective versus exactly how you felt while you went through it, right? That you have to have stepped away and healed a bit from the situation.
Yeah.
And at the same time, by sharing your deepest vulnerabilities might allow someone else to really step up to something that they're facing in the moment. So when I did one of my, I grew up doing storytelling competition and theater. It was totally my thing. But talking as me, it was a very different story. And when I did my first stage talk, it was about a 10-minute talk, no pitch allowed, just tell a story. And I, in that story, I talked about, you know, how I had gone from, you know, $90,000 contracts down to like $50 an hour. It was I got really sick, lost my immune system, and lost how I had to restructure everything online. And of course, now I'm a lot better and I've recovered, but what a great excuse to go build websites and build everything up. And in that process, when I first got online, I created an interview series because I was a ghostwriter at that point, writing under different names. No one knew who I was. So how are they going to know? I can't give them writing samples. I don't want to tell them who my ghost name is, right? So how do you get familiar and trust me? Well, so I created an interview series to know that I could pull the right stories out of you to help position your business and move everything forward. And a friend told me about a video challenge. So I did a 30-day video challenge and got a lot better at storytelling. And in the whole time that I was doing this storytelling or this video challenge, I was doing it with my arms locked at my side because I was actually healing from a cracked rib, which was a gift. Not so much a gift, but the man that I was dating had accidentally cracked a rib, whether it was because I had been sick or because it was whatever, but it was a controlling move and it was the straw that broke the camel's back and what our relationship was. And I found my way out of it after that. When I told this from the stage as part of my business journey, because it was, I absolutely valued myself enough to be in this relationship, to be very ill, to not really be taking care of myself and not asking what I knew really the value that I was still, you know, so $50 an hour working for billionaires, it's just a little backwards, right? But when I told that on stage, the next day a woman came up to me and said that she had gone home with her girlfriend, packed her bags, and left. And you know, so you never know who's listening and who might still be in it that really needs to hear that you can get to the other side, that it doesn't have to be this way, but you have to make that choice to stand up for yourself. So by sharing how all the different ways that I gave permission to myself to really be there, to really acknowledge the depth of what I've experienced in life, like multi-year sickness. When I was 18, I woke up one morning to my grandma, who I was visiting, falling against my door, having a stroke, and I became her caregiver for the next 11 years of my life. It's one of the reasons writing, even though I trained as a teacher, writing was more suited because I had the flexibility to be there as a caregiver. Life didn't really let me choose, and I couldn't be more grateful. She had all of her capacities. We didn't even live together. I lived an hour away, just came out once or twice a week. But she, whenever she gets stressed, her brain would shut down and all of her memories would go away. So she couldn't tell you what a problem was. She'd get lost and confused. But when it was just us, she was fully there. So just the two of us hanging out, and I'd casually talk her through everything. So then I'd have a list of what to talk to the doctors or what to tell the family. Because as soon as there's two or three people there, it was too much and her brain would get a little overwhelmed. So I became her voice. And she really was my song, right? 11 years of being there together. It was just, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yes. I mean, I went through something similar with my mother last 3 years, really. I was living in Panama and came home at a moment's notice when she collapsed and was told she had 48 hours to live. She had cancer. Mm-hmm. And I came home. I was in Panama at the time, and she picked up and lived another 2 years, and I became her primary caregiver for 2 years, and then a third year sorting out all of her things after she'd moved on. And it was, I mean, it just taught me so much. It wasn't 11 years, it was two, but still. I love the way you say that, you know, you became her voice and she became your song. There's a lot of truth in that for me as well. It's incredible.
Yeah, when you get to see someone at a level that when you take off all the masks that you put on for society, for siblings, for when you say this one person is the only person who's going to share what I really want in the world, right? I mean, when we got the diagnosis that my mom's cancer had come back, you know, the scan came back, it looked like a starry sky instead of a body scan. She had about 3 weeks at that point. And when we got those scans, when we got that news and came home that afternoon, of course, it took us about an hour of shock before we started like moving again instead of just sitting there being like, whoa, right? But when we did, she taught me how to title paintings and sketches. Because my stepdad had lived in that house for over 50 years, you'd like take a book off the shelf and a sketch would fall out. Like they were just everywhere. So as we were packing the estate, it was this building this entire catalog of everything he had done. But there was a very specific naming process, and she really only had two rules. It was everything has to be concrete and tangible. So, you know, woman in red fedora is the woman in the red fedora, right? The soldier under the tree is the soldier under the tree. It's just tell us what it is. And that is one thing that has truly helped propel my business as well as most of my clients. So just saying it as it is. So what do you do? I do stories that sell, books that sell you, writing that converts. Like, that's what I do. Those are my product names too. What do you know? You're looking for your website writing to convert? Great. Come do writing that convert. You know, it's a really tangible piece. But at the same time, when your environment is that stressful, when you're going through it, you have to step away. So that second book project that I took on, where we were reaching an audience of about 500,000, I was flown out to the Redwoods. So I would go away for a week. I'd interview the book out of them, go home, transcribe it, translate it, reorganize it, outline the whole next series of questions and layers and transitions, fly back out, interview for another week and then come out with a book and the articles and the copy after about three sets of those retreats. And that was my book process, this business platform, online website, and all of it. But yeah, going on retreat, especially as a caregiver where you, like I still sleep with my phone and have a hard time remembering, but I don't have to, even years after. Yeah. 6 years since she passed, and I still can't break some of those habits of being on call always. So the only time that I got to go away wasn't like vacationing with my girlfriends. It was going to write for a week, and then I come back and take care of everything. And so when I, you know, left the abusive situation after caregiving was over, I was like, well, where do I want to go? And I wanted to go back to giant California redwoods. Those trees are 3,000 years old. And I gave myself a year to 2 year window to just heal, a self-care sabbatical into the redwoods where the redwoods meet the ocean. And it was just every day walking at the ocean a couple times a week in the trees, super healing, super creative. And shortly after I moved there, I went on a writing retreat. It was like a lease business retreat kind of thing, and came home and wrote a 100-page outline of everything that I wanted to create. This was 3 years ago, and everything from that 100-page outline within, by the end of the year, will have been fully implemented. A book, multiple products, multiple courses, deep dives, individual days, group retreats, all of it. But it was this three-year process to release this entire huge vision of this is like when you sit and you ask yourself, like, if you were to get that diagnosis that you have 2 weeks, even if it's going to be 2 years or 24 hours or 3 weeks, it doesn't matter. But what is it that's living inside of you that you would feel guilty for taking to the grave with you? And it's a really, you know, somber question. But it's true. Like, you never know if you're going to be in a car accident, or you never know if you're going to have another 50 to 70 years of life. And if you get to choose to make the most of every day, and just imagine of how much you could do with those 50 years or with those 100 years that you might have, right? It's amazing.
Isn't that just so incredible? I remember when my mother was passing away, that my teacher, who is a shaman, he kept saying, talking about death as the teacher, death as the hunter, as in death is hunting all of us. And like you say, we just don't know whether it's today, tomorrow, or in 50 years' time. And so if death is the hunter and death is the teacher, what is it teaching us about being present, you know, right here and not right now, and being with the people and the situation that we find ourselves in, rather than wishing we were somewhere else. And it's such a sobering experience and such a sobering thing to be with and to sit with and to meditate on and to, you know, really choose to be right here, right now. So I just love that you talk about that and that you spent this time, you allowed yourself that time to heal and to spend time with the redwoods and in that incredible sacred energy space.
Yeah, it's amazing. Though I now live down in Santa Monica, it's still amazing to get to go back a couple of times a year with others and to take people in a modified version of what I was able to give myself. So to go stay right in the middle of 3,000-year-old trees with a river that runs backwards, like the Nile, instead of like most of them, and to be just really in this. So in that area, it is the cleanest air in the entire nation, and so there's truly nowhere more rejuvenating that I could think to go. And so I go back. I have a couple of clients who live up there, and then I take groups up there usually once a year, just because it's quite magical, and I'm grateful to be there. You know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wow. I love everything that you're talking about. So moving forward from where you are now, you know, by the end, said by the end of the year, you will have basically completed everything that was in that 100 pages you wrote, which is incredible. Where do you see yourself moving forward beyond that? What's the next sort of big dream?
Well, one of the things that I love is that I've set up my business to be a choose your own adventure. So I have like a nice menu of things, but I let my tribe kind of choose what order they're going to experience everything in. So what my community mm-hmm. asked me for this year is to step up from doing these smaller 20-person, 10-person events and to do a larger scale event. So I'm hosting a storytelling conference for the Speak to Sell model. I'm sorry, the Stories That Sell, not the Speak to Sell. It's a no-pitch conference. Like, no one's making a pitch, period. It is just storytelling. And if in the process of sharing your story, you get to understand what they do, why they're passionate about it, why they should care about it too, right? Totally great. I would guess by now it's clear why it's so important to share your voice is to help amplify it, to reach more people, whether that's in tribe members or in listeners or in video watchers, but to really grow. Of course, you want your bottom dollar to grow too, but even better if you can use your stories to change the world without having to say bye, 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 right? It's I'm not saying don't sell yourself, but it doesn't have to be your marketing. You really don't have to be a hard marketer. The storytelling conference has 12 other speakers that are all going to be they're all doing a talk, about a 10-minute talk, TEDx-ish style, that's shorter. Mm-hmm. And then a handful of them are also going to be doing teaches. So as an education, I spent 18 years in education working with children from 6 weeks up to 25 years old for some of the special ed children that I worked with or adults that I worked with. And I worked with pretty much every age in between. And what I specialized in was in the diverse learning needs of others, whether that is a learning disability or not. But we all learn in different ways better. I bet anything that you can think of, the friend who's always tapping out a rhythm with their foot or their pen, or that other friend who is like doing jumping jacks while they memorize their words because they want to somatically ground it into their body, or others that really learn best when they're out in nature because that's what brings them the calmness to be able to learn. We all learn in different ways. I have such a hard time memorizing. It's nearly impossible for me to read a page and memorize it. And so I have to read it into a recording. And then I play the recording as like a looped song until I memorize it. It's we all have our ways that we like to learn and the ways that are easier for us to access information. So what if you built all of that into the way you're communicating with your words? That you bring in a rhythm of words, that you bring in analogies, or you bring in action words that make us feel like, well, why don't you just hop on over to my contact page and then just grab any time that works for you, right? Those just using specific words to speak to different types of people who are listening will really help stretch how your words are resonating with others. It's not magic. The psychological process that I use or really model this off of is a guy named Gardner. And so I look at it as in, if you were to go write a love letter to your tribe, if you were to tell them what you really wish for them, what you really wish for them to have, to do, to be, to know, right? But then if you write that love letter to go speak to all the different ways of communicating to someone, means that you're going to reach a lot more of that single set of ears listening on the other side, right?
Oh, that's just brilliant. I love it.
It's true.
I'm sure it is. As you say, we all learn in different ways. We all listen in different ways. We hear in different ways. I can just imagine one of your retreats and just learning so much. So Well, the next one's coming up here.
Yeah.
When is it? Yeah, tell me.
So I run the retreats at Equinox. This next one will be in September, September 18th. It's right at the south gate of the Avenue of the Giants. So one of the first self-made female millionaires in the U.S. is a woman who, her name is Julia Morgan. She's the architect of the Hearst Castle, which is a big famous thing in California, as well as lots of others. But she was one of those, that first female billionaire level. When she built a private estate in the Redwoods right at the Avenue of the Giants. And so that's what I've rented out for retreat. There's a huge historic inn across the street that'll be doing all of our meals for us and is where I often lead private retreats, one-on-one versus the group.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the Redwoods, on the water, in the Avenue of the Giants. The land that we're on is Native American territory, and it just feels so sacred. So sacred.
Yeah.
We all, whether you're adopted or you're not, doesn't matter. There is ancient blood running through each of us. And if you can start listening from that level of what's really inside of you, the wisdom that you have access to, and you bring that into your writing and into your learning, oh, it's just magical. I love retreat. Oh, yeah. Mm.
I completely agree with you. I've been studying with a shaman now for the best part of 8 years or so. And, you know, I bring that into a lot of the coaching work I do. And so I'm completely resonating with what you're saying. And to be there on the land itself, the energy and the wisdom and the knowledge, that's in, and not just in our own blood, but in the trees as well. I mean, I've been there for so long. I can just, wow, yes, I'm excited already.
It's one of the things that I look forward to the most is going to retreat. But I do retreats not just in the Redwoods. It's a choose your own adventure. So whether you're going to retreat in the Redwoods, I've been asked next year to bring one of the retreats to Hot Springs in California, or to possibly bring it to Japan. So for the last few years, so there'll always be one a year in the Redwoods because that's one of my happy places. But it's also possible to design them all over the place. And then I have been LA as well because it's just really easy to fly into LAX. And I work with a lot of people internationally. So I'd say about half of my community is not local. And even for the November Stories That Sell, there's a woman flying in from Germany, from Australia, possibly from New Zealand, from Tokyo, a couple Canadians, and we're like still 3 months out from the event and still filling seats. So it's really exciting to see so many people starting to recognize around the world that it's that what we have been taught is proper marketing is really built to the industry model of society that we are no longer in, which is why even though it works, there's so much more dissent and unhappiness when people realize that they're being manipulated. Well, I don't want to be told what I should do, what I need to do. I mean, unless it's like, are you taking care of yourself? Because you really do need to do that, right? Like we are used to pouring from a cup that has no liquid left, right? Getting out every last drop.
Exactly.
And so when you fill that cup first and then you have so much more overflow, it's so much easier to stay, to be able to hold for everyone else that is looking for what you have to offer. I know... When I look back at my family history, my grandfather was sterile, and my grandma actually participated in some of the very first artificial inseminations. So I literally would not exist if it weren't for choice, for like the right to choose what you want for what's happening in the world. And that it just comes so forward into business and into so many other things where you get to choose how you're going to show up. You get to choose what marketing techniques you want and what you don't. You know, I remember sitting in a marketing weekend And it was a 2-day weekend. On the first day, we open it up, we're talking funnels, and we get to this page where we're being taught an indoctrination sequence. And I couldn't believe what I was
really?
I know it's standard, but I couldn't believe, like, I thought it was a heart-based business. I thought I knew these people. This is why I was signed up for this program. And there we are at the very end of the program, the very last weekend, learning indoctrination sequences. And I wrote that night, I wrote an email saying, I am not okay with this. Like, please find another way to do not teach this again. This is not okay. That you're like, these are mind washing tickets. And the next day we had a conversation as an entire group about it. And the entire group agreed, like, yeah, no, we're, yes, you have to educate them, but that's very different than indoctrinating them. And it really shifted everything. I mean, I've been doing this work for years. I started accidentally as a kid. When I was a freshman in high school, I was part of a diversity club. And I remember walking into this diversity club that I was told I'd been recommended for, both by students and some teachers. And I walk in, I'm one of the only white kids in the room. Very huge school, very diverse population. And I'm like, what am I doing here? Right. And they're like, well, look around. Are these your friends or what? And I was like, of course they are. They're all my friends. And they're like, yeah, that's the problem. That's why you're here. We want more people who think like you. And while I was part of the diversity club, yeah, it was really amazing to be one of those ambassadors to help bridge that, going beyond just tolerance and really going into full acceptance and awareness and appreciation of our differences. So I was approached to be to start a subset of that group. There's a woman who was a couple years ahead, and she was looking to create a gay straight alliance. And I was like, okay, well, like I said, I was in storytelling and in drama and theater. And so I was very used to seeing friends be very bullied around school. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, this makes sense. I have the access to the program. We can start this under the diversity club. And I have reason and care. And I would love to see my friends have a safe space to just be themselves. Sure, let's make this happen. And another woman got, she reached out to a publisher, and she got cases of a book called Am I Blue? Delivered to the school and pasted in the very back saying, pay this forward, read it, pay it forward, pass it on. And the signature story is saying, no one's fully clear, no one's like pure blue, but everyone else is on a spectrum somewhere in the middle. And so you never know who it is, the person that's hiding it or not. And so what if we were just wearing it on the outside and couldn't hide it, and we just had no choice but to be who we are, instead of those masks? And that book, so as a freshman in high school, we launched what later I found out is now one of the first 10 gay straight alliances in America. And we launched it with a book launch to get them in all the other schools. I had no clue this is what I was doing as a kid. I was just tired of seeing friends bullying and happened to be in diversity club and said, okay, let's make this happen. But if you don't say okay, if you don't, when opportunity shows up, if you're like, yeah, no, that doesn't, whatever, you know, if you don't make those choices to be like, sure, this sounds like something that I really could believe in, that I have a personal investment in, and I really do want to see the change.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so incredible. It's just the power of language and words. And I was talking to a friend of mine before jumping on this show about choice being one of the most powerful words in the English language.
Yeah,
because it's there within. When we give ourselves the power to choose, we then have the power to step into freedom, to step into a whole different world of possibility and opportunity. So, what you've just described in creating that platform, that's incredible.
Yeah, well, you know, no matter what choices you're making, you also have to have the passion behind it to see it through, and the patience to make it, to let it happen as it's going to happen. And so anytime I look at choice, it's always the right hand and left hand, patience and passion, patience and passion, let's make this happen. And just trying to stay in equal weight. It's amazing what can land in your lap, even in the moment that you're not expecting it. So a client sent me down to go meet with a store, and we just had a very casual conversation. I didn't know even why I was there, other than that I was told to just go have a meet and greet with someone. And then just got word actually yesterday that what transpired was over $1 million deal. That they just got the first draft of the contract. I didn't know. I mean, we were just talking about what I knew about this client and what they do and what they're about, right? But as their writing coach, of course, I know them, I see them, and I've helped translate what they're doing. And so we were just chatting, and it turned into, it's a $200,000 a year for 5-year contract for one of my clients, and plus housing, plus travel, plus. And I just, you never know where or when it's going to come from, unless you put the work in, so you are able to say yes and feel confident in saying it. When my stepdad, when I literally was in a house of dead people's stuff with this book dying wishes of wanting their legacy, but like all of a sudden I needed leads because now I had all this art and stuff that I was going to have to deal with. Right. And, sorry. And you just got to deal with it. You got to figure out something. Yes. But when I was approached to say, hey, we're going to, you know, I'd like to do this book project, I didn't say, well, can I? Am I worthy of doing it? Can I really possibly be worth doing? No, it was okay. Well, I'm the only person alive who knows these stories. I inherited not money, but stuff. So unless I was going to do something with it, like it was just going to be stuff. And, you know, there's that responsibility, even though it wasn't. So I didn't question if I could do the work or I couldn't. I just knew that it was fine. I had already had a degree in writing and in ghostwriting. I'd already been working on the business platform and naming stuff with my mom. I'm learning the business for just that month before she passed, you know, a couple lessons, and that was it. But I lived in the house, and we lived and breathed the business. We would sit at the table with 2 printed copies of his autobiography, reading it out loud, line by line, with him and a pen and my mom and a pen and me listening. And that's how we did the edits and created it. Like, I knew his stories inside and out. And he really changed history. So one of the things my stepdad was really, Stanley Meltzoff was famous for, was science fiction novels. So he was doing covers like The Day After Tomorrow, where he was using his scuba gear and his spear fishing equipment to model what he imagined the spacesuit would look like 10 years before they built the spacesuit. Like, he literally shaped history in the way that things were done by his ingenious way of looking at things. And he was there like hot gluing stuff onto the spacesuit or onto his wetsuit. And he glued on extra fancy things onto the spear gun so it would look, you know, and then he'd photograph it and paint it, and, you know. But lo and behold, it's exactly what a spacesuit looks like even still today. It's amazing how little it's changed in all of these years.
Gosh, that's incredible.
It's really amazing to have friends who come over and look at some of the paintings or prints that I have hanging, and they can't tell if it's a photograph or if it's a painting. They don't know the difference because he's so realistic. But it was his passion, right? It was that constant patience. He sent his book he was an art historian. Like, his autobiography, I will admit, is really dry. But I read through his autobiography and I kept finding myself laughing out loud. Get through a few more, be like, ah. And the publisher that I worked with next to me is like, what are you laughing at? This is boring. And I was like, oh, here's the story. So when he was doing covers for Smithsonian Magazine, there's one painting that he painted that's all pennies. It was for probability, right? And every single penny in the painting is heads up. Every single one, which is statistically impossible. So mm-hmm. my stepdad, Stanley, would tell the story that they didn't get the joke. They didn't get it, right? Statistically impossible for the probability, and never hired him again after that. Years later, I found out that he had actually gotten into an argument with the editor, had kind of been a jerk in his day, and then they refused they didn't use the picture, and they refused to work with him again. It wasn't that they didn't get the joke, but as a naive kid and him telling me these stories, I totally believed him, and we created a keyword. We never knew when he was pulling our chain or not, and so we had a keyword, and anytime you asked him, truly, you know, he would have to answer if it was for real or if he was making up a tale. He was so good at storytelling. It was just extraordinary to hear.
Brilliant.
So inspiring. So, yeah.
And what a great person to learn from.
Yeah. He's
to tell stories. Yeah.
You never know. It's really amazing to think of how life takes us on turns that you never expect. So my mom and stepdad were pen pals for 10 years. They met scuba diving in Australia on a dive boat and spent the next few years pen paling it back and forth before getting married. And so they knew each other, and there's a big age gap, but they knew each other through letters, through really speaking to each other off and on every year for 10 years. These weren't love letters. It was like Christmas communications or summer updates kind of thing. But what they ended up having was what my mom described as feeling love without any requirement for the first time in three marriages, that she finally understood what it was to have unconditional love in her life and how grateful she was to have that before being able to pass. And she absolutely is the one person in my life that told me never, ever to do what I'm doing in business, to never be a writer, to never be an entrepreneur, because I was going to be a starving artist for life. And yet she really gave me a lot of the skills that I have. I've been, since 10 years old, I've been creating, designing, and facilitating events for large, large groups. So for my community to come ask me in November to run 150 person storytelling conference, to create it as a no pitch thing, to build in storytelling competition, all of that wonderful lot, like $3,000 in prizes. I can't wait for it. But it's every time I tell myself, well, I've never done that. And then all of a sudden I remember, oh, yes, you have. Yes, you have. You've been doing this your entire life. You've been facilitating events. You've been writing website copy for friends long before you even knew what the phrase copywriting was. Wake up, Steph. It is a sticky note on your forehead. Everyone else can read it. And so if there's one thing that I would love the listeners, anyone who's on this call right now, to really remember, is that what is most easiest for you, what is your normal, is not normal for everyone else. It is not normal.
That's such a brilliant thing to walk away with. Thank you for sharing that, because it's I totally get that sticky post-it note thing as well, and what other people see in you or see in me, and we feel that it's because it's so second nature to us, it's therefore not of value, and yet somebody else will see it and think, oh my goodness, that's incredible, how do you do that? And so it's really taking that, what we're good at innately, and then telling it through story. I think it's just absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's one of the reasons that we as isolated entrepreneurs and coaches working from our houses, it's just really, really important to know that you can't do it alone. Things and the reasons that you need coaches, you need support, you need to hire people to be there with you. And again, here we are needing, should, whatever. But I really feel like the truth is in the collaboration and in allowing others to experience, to really experience what you have to offer, and having their reflections allow you to understand and to be able to read that sticky note like you're looking in a mirror. So.
Yes. Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. So given that this is the Being Brilliant radio show, what in your terms, and you may have touched on this already, but what in summary, what would be, what does it take for people to be brilliant in you, from your perspective? What does it take to be brilliant?
I think it's really important to remember that you are a genius. You are the only person who has experienced what you've done in your life. No one else mm-hmm. has seen what you have seen with your eyes, with the knowledge that you have to synthesize and understand that information. And when you take that mixed with the depth of your soul and you allow your gifts to go heal the world, when you step up and you answer the call that you know is really inside pushing you, that the choice is to live and to voice your passions and to take your ideas and to shape them into actions that allow you, not only you to move forward, but allow entire societies, the generations that come after you, to walk in footsteps that are clean, because you were able to take the knowledge of all the generations that came before you and to move forward. Mm-hmm. It's called sustainability. It's just the core of it. And so being brilliant is being brilliant by honoring your true genius and acknowledging it so you can share it.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. It's so wise. And what would be your top three insights from your field of expertise that you'd like the Being Brilliant listeners to walk away with today?
The number one thing is that I want to know what I don't know to ask you, right? Just because I've not known you that long. I mean, Amy, we've just been chatting for a little bit and there's so much more that I want yeah. to know. But even to start with, what do I ask? Where do I go? And just knowing that we don't know what to ask you, it's not bragging. It's just sharing the truth of what your experiences have been. Yeah. And I just don't know it. If you're going to hide it, I don't know it. So really sharing yeah. that, the truth of it, speaking to that one person, when I say speaking to one person, I mean speaking with you and your, instead of they're going to do this or we're going to do this, just one speaking person, you, and embed that yeah. into all of the words that you have, to make sure that you're speaking to the reader. And in the same place, we've heard it before, but really understanding it, I want to see it. Please show me. Don't tell me. Don't tell me you're an yeah. expert. Yeah. Show me how you became an expert. Tell me the story that allows me to, if I were blind, tell me the story narrative that allows me to visually wake up the sense that I don't have access to. Turn the picture on. So I can see it, I can smell it, I can taste it, I can feel it. You know, it's you have to paint the picture. If you don't, we can't say yes because we don't know what we're saying yes to, which is the number we all talk about getting over your fear. But one of the number one ways to get over the fear is to just know what you're saying yes to. Full awareness, full disclosure. You have to show people who you really are. So.
Yeah. Gosh, I love that. I love that analogy with the blind person and enabling them to see. That's incredible. I hadn't heard it put like that before. Thank you. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's such an honor. Thank you so much, Amy.
Yeah, it's been amazing to have this chat with you. And I know that our listeners will get a huge amount out of what you've shared and the stories you've told. I know you have some retreats coming up that you've mentioned. So there's one on September the 18th to the 22nd. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
And how can people learn more about that? Where should we send them?
So the retreats at redwoodsretreat.com, everything is linked through StephRitt.com. So you can find the Redwoods okay. retreat through StephRitt. You can find Stories That Sell Storytelling Conference in Los Angeles through StephRitt.com. Mm-hmm. And then if you're looking for me in social media, I am StephRitt. I-A-M StephRitt. and it's the same for Instagram, for Facebook, for Twitter. Yeah.
Wonderful. Easy. Across the board, all the same. Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much. I've really, really enjoyed this conversation. I feel like I've learned a huge amount from your stories, which is wonderful because that's what you do. So yes, anybody who's listening in, please head over to Steph Ritz, StephRitz.com. And thank you all so much for listening in, for tuning in, for being here, and for shining your own lights so others may do the same. Be sure to tune in again in 2 weeks from now, and go out and be the lighthouse. Shine your light, no matter how fierce the storm. Steph, thank you so much. I really, really enjoyed this, and I look forward to catching up again soon.
Again, thank you so much, Amy. What an honor.
Thank you. Bye for now.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Get in the game at Albertsons. We're kicking off the football season with big prizes. Look for Game On participating player tags, buy any three, and enter your code for a chance to win. Get Tide laundry detergent 42 to 50 ounces or pods 12 to 16 count, $4.99 each. And Bounty paper towels, 12 big rolls or 6 huge rolls, $11.99 each when you buy two. No purchase necessary. Open to residents of Southern California counties listed in rules 18 years and older. Ends January 9th, 2018. Enter code by January 12th, 2018. Rules at GameOnSoCal.com. Get in the game at Albertsons. We're kicking off the football season with big prizes. Look for Game On participating player tags, buy any three, and enter your code for a chance to win. Get Tide laundry detergent 42 to 50 ounces or pods 12 to 16 count, $4.99 each. And Bounty paper towels, 12 big rolls or 6 huge rolls, $11.99 each when you buy two. No purchase necessary. Open to residents of Southern California counties listed in rules 18 years and older. Ends January 9th, 2018. Enter code by January 12th, 2018. Rules at GameOnSoCal.com.